The recording has started, David. Thank you.
Thanks. Let me just mention, now that the recording has been started, we had a few preliminary comments. We are a small group today, and we have officially four. There's others in attendance, but officially four of the participants, and so we've not reached a quorum to take decisions. And Caboose had mentioned in that discussion that we can't really have a meeting. Bernie explained that we could possibly continue without taking decisions, and so that's the decision I've just stated prior to the recording being started, in order to allow us to explore two things. One is going to public comment with Malcolm Huddy's verbiage on time for filing, with ICANN willing to make a minority statement or public comment or both. And two, an interim suggestion just on the list yesterday from Sam Eisner to come up with an interim set of rules that we might be able to move very quickly as well. Hopefully both of those would move quickly. So that's my goal, is to continue this call, create a record, not so much to make any decisions, but to discuss these and set it up for ourselves and for people on the list, so that we could summarize this call and say, here's where we are, here's where we're going, we'd like to move fairly quickly, if that's possible. Excuse me. God darn it. If that's possible. And so with that being said, I just wanted to make that note prior to moving on the agenda, so that the recording has the background to what we were discussing just before the recording started. Now, let me ask if there's anybody on the phone who's not in the internet room, Zoom. Not hearing anyone. Let me ask if anybody that is here has an interest in making any notes about their statement of interest.
David, I believe Caboose's hand is up.
Sorry, I have not seen it. Caboose, your hand must be up, so please go ahead.
Yes, no problem. David, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good night to everybody. In view of the circumstances, we can start the meeting, we can discuss. At the time that we come to take any decision, then we see whether we have five. Maybe at that time, other people will join us. So no problem yourself, because we are in the particular circumstances taking into account the covering note of some that need to do something in the meantime. So I have no problem to continue discussions. At the time we come to the decision making, we may see that we have more people, hopefully to get minimum five. So you can kindly go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Caboose. And so I believe, Brenda, could you go to the agenda, or do we have scroll capability? I'm not exactly sure how this works. But in any event, we do have an agenda, and the next item on the agenda after the welcome and the SOIs is to ask Sam to speak a bit to the email that she put out yesterday with respect to an interim set of supplementary procedures. So Sam, I'd like to ask you to take the floor, and you can correct me if I misstated anything in setting all this up as to what your effort exactly is. So please, Sam, go ahead. Sam, if you're speaking, we're not hearing. At least I'm not hearing. And still not hearing.
Okay, I'm trying this now. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Sam, and not nice okay. And clear.
All right. Apparently, I used to click two buttons to get there. So this is Sam Eisner from ICANN Legal. I think that the way that you introduced the document and what we were trying to do earlier is correct. So when we were initially thinking about the two bucket item that we were discussing last week, the way we were conceptualizing that is, can we come up with a bucket of rules that we think we might be ready to work with now versus the bucket of things that need more work? And so in trying to get to what we could work with now, that would also allow us to put into place, hopefully fairly soon, while we're working on finalizing the rest of the rules, a set of
supplementary procedures that could apply to an IRP if one got filed. Because right now we only have supplementary procedures that correlate with the old bylaws and not with the current version of the bylaws with the enhancements to the IRP. And so we think that even if not everything is in there yet, having an interim set based on the IOT's work would be more preferable than working under the prior version of the rules or of the procedures if an IRP got filed in the near future. And that we thought that that might give better implementation to the intent of the community as well. So that's why we presented that document. In the cover note, I mentioned that, you know, I'm putting it out for consideration, and if we do have a set of those interim procedures that go into force, from ICANN's perspective, we would agree and go on, you know, put in writing anywhere and commit that having something incorporated into the interim set by no means should be determinative of what goes into the final set. So that means on issues such as the repose, or if there are other things that are not fully captured within that interim set, that we're not trying to make a recommendation, those get put in as an interim set so that it gets more difficult to put in a different rule in terms of supplementary procedure. They are just an interim set, and whatever the proper verbiage is and the final wording for any of the documents or any of the sections that are in there, we'd wait to see what we needed in the final set to make sure that that's the determinative version. And so, you know, in doing it, you know, I think that we identified a couple areas where we thought that we needed more precision around some language that we might not have identified earlier. And so in my cover note, you see that I identified a couple areas where we thought that we would recommend that Sidley start working on language now so that we could go in that parallel track effort. We wouldn't want to use a lot of the IOT time focusing on the interim rules. We think that the IOT time, you know, we still have a significant amount of work to get to a final set of rules. And so we think if we had a supplementary or an interim set that we thought we could put in place earlier to allow IRPs to move somewhat smoothly, and then we actually have written in there that whatever comes in the final rules should, you know, come into force. So there wouldn't be a lot of question as to the propriety of the applicability of the updated rules when they happen, if something is initiated under the interim rules. You know, we see this kind of as a step on the path, and it's a step kind of, in my own words, I think it's kind of a step of least harm, right? I think if you look on a progression of things, it would be preferable to have IRPs under procedures that are more aligned with the bylaws that we have today than under the bylaws that we took out of force. And we think that in terms of interim, that we made no steps that would be difficult to undo if the final rule, the final set of the updated supplementary procedures comes out differently. So we didn't want to, you know, take big steps that we'd have to then pull back, because that's where you'd see issues of prejudice to participants, et cetera, in trying to implement a new set mid-IRP. So with that, if you have any questions, we can discuss some of it here, or if you want to leave some of the detail to the list, however you want to do that, David, I'm here and ready for the whole hour.
Thanks, Sam. I do have some questions, and I raised my hand as a participant, but Caboose's hand was up before me. So Caboose, you have the floor. Caboose, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. Or I can't hear you.
Do hear me, please, now.
Yes, I hear you now. Yes. Just now.
I repeat, I said that thanks to some. She proposed, or she put a motion, and then a content of the motion. So first, we have to decide on the motion, whether we agree that there is a need to have interim supplementary procedures, supplementary rules. I for one, I have no difficulty and I support that. But perhaps you first ask the question for the now we have at least five participants, that whether there is any objection to this motion. If there is no objection or if there is agreement or consensus of that, then you go to the detail of the motion or content of the motion. So I suggest these two-step procedures. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Before we go to, well, I'm actually next in the queue, I think. And I take your point. I think we can put this out for comment on the list as well, but I think it's worthwhile to press on and get additional detail on the phone as well to help us inform ourselves. Like you, I have no objection to a set of interim procedures, I don't think, as I listen to more of the discussion about it. I have some questions, Sam. Let me ask you this. The first question I have is, would an interim set of procedures be subject to board approval in your view?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes, I think that the bylaws make clear that there has to be board approval on any set of procedures that go into force.
Excuse me. Thank you. And you mentioned we would want to get Sidley working on intervention and joinder section and translation. Could you mention just a little bit in more detail what you envision there? In other words, we've discussed those and we've come largely to a solution, I thought, but are you talking about them taking what we've discussed and putting language on it or what? I'm just not sure I understand what you mean there.
Yeah, so I think the two sections raise different concerns for me. So let's handle intervention and joinder first. When we looked at the language that we developed, I think we actually developed more principles as an IoT as opposed to language that could actually be placed into the rules. If you take a look to see how we try to put them in, they're in brackets in there. It's not clear how the language that we've used has tied into the defined terms that we have. And I don't think that it's an insurmountable issue, but I think that we do need some thought about how to carefully put it in so that we're not creating one standard of intervention that might be unintentionally broader or for joinder as well, that might be unintentionally broader during the interim set than it would be in a final set. Once you saw it in place based on the principles that the IoT had identified, they really didn't fit nicely and they raised many more questions than they answered. And so I think for that, they were probably too vague for implementation right now. But I think that the principles that the IoT developed can be very nicely translated into language that I know that the IoT would like for Sidley to take the first step at, which is the other reason that we didn't try to really modify the principles into language so that we could, again, focus on a set of rules that we thought we were ready for now versus what we need for the final procedures. In terms of the translation, there was IoT agreement on translation. I think that there's work that needs to happen both within the IoT as well as with getting final language drafted for it because there's the way the translation is mentioned, it's fairly broad. And I think that we need to, or I would recommend that we take a look at a little bit more of the specifics around that. Are we talking about translation only in relation to live hearing participation? The way that it's presented now, it could mean that there's a requirement for translation of all materials. We haven't answered the question of who would pay for translation if requested. There are a few different aspects to that that I think also make it hard to just put into implementation now without having some more conversation around that, without having language clearly drafted to meet the intent of the IoT. So again, we didn't want to replace any suggestions we had in place of the judgment of the IoT. And so that's another place where we thought that more work was done. I think there on this one, it requires both the involvement of the IoT as well as the in the final language.
Thanks, Sam. I have just one quick question, then I'm going to step out of the queue. And that question is, on those two things, would you be willing on list to help tee them up, you know, with what you, sort of what you were just describing?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That answers that. So, Sam, thanks.
And then you and I can talk to you about how to do that if you want.
Well, if you have some comments on how to do that, go ahead.
Not at the moment, but I can take a look at how I'd recommend.
Oh, okay. Okay. But what I'm getting at is, you well explained what you mean by that. And I'm hoping that on list, you're the one that would be able to tee it up so that we can take it further.
Sure. Not a problem.
So thank you. I may have a question later, but I'm going to step out now. Malcolm was next, but Malcolm, before I go to you, let me ask Bernie if your hand is up, Bernie, for a process question.
Yes, sir.
Or comment.
I just wanted to make clear, Cavus mentioned earlier that we're now five. We're still only four. ICANN Legal has three people here, but Samantha, I think, very wisely points out that all the ICANN Legal staff just count as one. So, unfortunately, we're still only at four. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Bernie. And so, whether we want to pursue an interim procedures, we'd have to go to lists. So, but I think we can continue the discussion surrounding how this would work. To that end, Malcolm's next in the queue as far as I can see. So Malcolm, you have the floor. And Malcolm, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. I have a feeling that with Zoom, there's some audio issues. I'm not sure, but Malcolm, we're not hearing you. At least I'm not.
I'm speaking. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
You can hear me now. Okay. This is supposed to speed things up, but I'm worried that it will actually have the effect of slowing things down. We know that from experience that interim procedures have a habit of being, if not permanent, at least very long-lasting, especially when introduced in response to the fact that the decisions are controversial and it's hard to get agreement. This could be very long-lasting. And if we focus on this, as Sam says, we still have to go through the same procedures as if this were final. And that would include the work with Sidley. They would have to double their work. They'd have to work on this. And then they'd have to work on the final version. I think that this could distract us. Well, I think our efforts will be better expended in trying to conclude our discussions as soon as possible. I think really we could realistically expect to have everything wrapped up and sent off to Sidley to check. I would hope, certainly no longer later than the end of June, even earlier than that, maybe. So I think we should focus on getting this done. I mean, Cavus has spoken, I know others have said this too, but Cavus's articulation, it really springs to mind that we've been going round on this too long, and we need to bring it to a conclusion. And I think an interim measure invites a lot of debate about the content. As Cavus said, we'd have to discuss. If we agree the principle of an interim set, then we have to discuss the content. The content of what we got is what ICANN thinks is satisfactory. It's not something that is agreed with everyone else. We would have to discuss and agree that. We know that there's going to be controversy over the reposed thing. ICANN wants the reposed treatment in the interim rules treated the way that they would prefer it to be treated in the final rules. I wouldn't agree with that, and we'd have to have a discussion. I think this will derail things, that this will just extend our work. So I don't think it will bring us to a swifter conclusion.
Next in the queue, thanks, Malcolm, is Sam. I think that's a new hand.
Thanks, David. This is in response to Malcolm. So if you look at the language that was presented in the interim rule set, there's very little in there that is original drafting from ICANN. for the most part, it is, you know, we presented it in red line against what was already posted for public comment, which was already done with Sidley. So those were drafted. And so we're not trying to present any new information. And we tried to be very careful about the things about flagging what appeared to require significant drafting so that we didn't have to go through the effort of drafting it, or of doing a full drafting exercise over the interim rules as well as on the final rules. Because I agree, if we had to do both, that would be a significant duplication of effort. And so that's why we basically just tailored it to what the IoT has already agreed upon and what the community has already seen. In terms of being able to present a final set by the end of June, it's already May. We already know that we have to go for public comment on the repose issue. That already takes us out to the end of June if we were to open up the public comment tomorrow. And so that means we don't have anything final until at least the end of June, setting aside all the other process. And so there are practical timing issues. And so I think there still is the fundamental question, and you know, we'd be open to, I mean, the reason we sent this over to the IoT is to get the IoT's reaction to it, to both that sense of, does it make sense, as Caboose said, to even consider this idea of something interim? Because, you know, from our perspective, it creates benefits to the community to have an interim set, to have at least something that the IRP can be based in while the rest of the process is continuing, and then move to the final set. So that's why we presented it. And, you know, again, if there are any other questions on the content, we're open to talk to that.
Thanks, Sam. It's David again. And Bernie, your hand's up. Is that a new hand?
Yes, it is, sir. Just wanted to note two things. First, Greg has joined us, so we are now at five. Second point, if we are going to public consultation on anything, of course, it's the 6-week block, and usually to get things teed up for that is at least 2 weeks, if not 3 weeks. And we are going to start running into getting things ready for ICANN 62. So if you take, even if you take a minimum set of 2 or 3 weeks and then 6 weeks, that puts you 9 weeks out from, let's say, the end of May. So that would put you at the end of July. And usually, I will note from experience, it's not really a good time of year to put out public consultations for things you really want people to consider. July, August are the dog days of summer in the Northern Hemisphere. No disregard to our fellows from the Southern Hemisphere, but it does tend to significantly impact people's attention and getting comments done within period. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. David speaking again. And just before I go to Caboose, let me just pose this idea. It's so far, I think it's possible that what we're going for public comment on is just one issue. And in my view, that could be prepared pretty quickly. I think I could write something up on that fairly quickly. Now, it depends on ICANN's approach, whether I think ICANN may submit a minority statement along with that, as well as making a public comment. I'm not exactly sure. But let me go to Caboose, and then I do have another question, but Caboose had his hand up. So Caboose, why don't you take the floor?
Do you hear me, please?
We hear. Thanks.
Hello?
Caboose. Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I raise a question that we put the motion to the view of the colleagues. But before that, how many items are pending that we are obliged to go to the interim for the case that a complaint should come? do we have many cases, or do we have very few that we could try whether or not we are in a position to resolve it? So, and then if there are few, perhaps you still put the question to the people whether they agree with the motion of interim, or in view of the limited number that may be discussed at two meetings, maybe to, next week, then we need not to go to the interim procedure. So how many items we have which is pending and push us to the interim procedures? Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Sam, do you have any information on, Caboose, I believe you're talking about other cases pending, IRP cases, is that right?
No, I mean, in the supplementary procedure, why we go to the interim? Because there are some issues that has not yet been resolved. So what is the, why we go to the interim?
And I'll let Sam talk about why going to interim, but let me also pose a related question and then ask Sam to comment. And the related question I have, Sam, is couldn't we take your proposal for interim rules and my suggestion, couldn't we make this one effort? In other words, take your draft, your red line draft, get whatever we need to Sidley to help on translations and intervention and joinder. Have a meeting on list and on phone to address the translation questions that you thought we needed to work on, that, you know, that we don't have enough for Sidley yet. And also get the proposed question out for public comment. Couldn't we do this as part of a joint sort of unified effort and so where the interim rules would basically be bucket number one and would come into force in some, you know, in some manner while we're getting public comment and repose. So anyway, that's my question. And so I'd be interested in what your thoughts are, Sam.
This is Sam. I think that having something like that would be ideal. We know that there's other work that needs to be done. I think it depends on how long we think we need to get the other language right for items that are included. And I mean, I see no reason combining the efforts somewhat. I think that we do need as a group to be ready to understand if there's an IRP filed, how we want things to progress and what ideally would be in force at the time that an IRP was filed. But I don't see any issue with combining those efforts as you suggest.
Thanks, Sam. So before I ask if anyone else has comments, let me just mention that I think we have here, and I'd be interested in what Malcolm thinks, I think we have here a way forward, sort of taking Sam's red line, which I think is a very good effort, and moving forward with that and trying to get it and trying to move forward with interim rules that we could actually use and get the board to approve, while at the same time going for public comment on repose. It may be that as we discuss this, we'll have to tweak, Sam, what you did. I don't know, but what I'm interested in is getting Sidley to work on what they can work on, because that money's going to run out at the end of June anyway. We have to get them moving. I would like to get the repose issue out to public comment if we think that's the only one. I think that could be done fairly quickly and would sort of avoid, if we can get that out fairly quickly, we would avoid the summer doldrums issue that Bernie wisely mentioned. Maybe what I should do is simply come to the list and say, you know, do people agree this is the approach? I would need some help. You know, I would be happy to draw up the document that would set up repose for public comment. That would then depend on whether we agree that I set it up right, and two, whether ICANN has a minority statement that they want to append to that. But I'm interested in any way we can expedite that and any way we can expedite sort of getting interim rules. I think Sam is a good point. We ought to get some rules out there because, there could be IRPs and they should have updated rules. Does anyone want to comment on this idea or sort of try and help me make more clear what I've been saying just now? Excuse me. I don't see any hands in the queue. Malcolm, what do you think of trying to take Sam's red line approach and joining it in an effort to get rules out there, not interim rules, but rules out there where we can agree, including translation and joinder, I hope, and getting repos out for public comment. What's your reaction to this?
Well, I would like to get this thing done and out to public comment. Now, if this, I haven't done a line-by-line comparison against what Sam has put up and the other decisions that we've taken. If what Sam has put up actually reflects all the decision that we've taken, then yeah, this sounds good. If, on the other hand, what Sam has done is simply taken the previous draft, the draft that we are that went out to the previous public comment, the draft that we've moved away from, and not incorporated the other decisions that we've taken, then that's more of a problem, because it doesn't represent, it wouldn't then represent, you know, our agreed approach. It would represent an actual approach we've agreed not to do. So I wouldn't think that would be easier. So I think I'd have to ask, does this represent the previous draft that we went to public comment, or does it represent the work that we've done in this group since?
Thanks, Malcolm. It's David speaking. I did go through Sam's red line. I have to admit that I went through it fairly quickly, but it struck me as being an honest effort to try and capture exactly what we've done. You pointed out that there is, you know, the rule four is not quite the way I think you, excuse me, you would find it to your liking, but rule four aside, that's my take on it. Sam, do you have any comments about this kind of an approach where we try and just rush to the finish line and get not interim rules out, but get rules out maybe on the same timeline that you were envisioning, if not even faster?
If we can move that quickly, I'd be happy to see that happen. I think having interim rules, it could be a benefit, but if we're not able to get to those as quickly as we want, let's just move as fast as we can on the final and get to that. And Malcolm, I think if you do look through the document, you'll see, and I put this in chat too, we really tried hard to reflect the different agreements that the IoT had made after the public comment. So you'll see red lines to that. We've also annotated in the document why changes were made to demonstrate where those agreements came from. So we really did try to take a good faith effort at doing that. This isn't just the public comment version with other things ICANN wants to see in there. That's not what we did.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you, Sam. So I don't see any other hands up. So I actually feel that we may have come to the end of this call with the exception of AOB. And what would probably happen is I should come to the list in the next day or so, maybe might be over the weekend. It might be tomorrow. I don't know. Probably over the weekend. I have a lot of meetings tomorrow, and sort of capture what we've spoken about here. That is, we're going to take Sam's red line and try and push it forward to final rules, setting aside rule four right now. We have to figure out how we're going to get work on that. I mean, that is a legitimate issue. And then separately, I could take a stab at teeing up the time for filing document for public comment. I think it could be fairly brief, frankly, saying, you know, that we went to public comment. Here's what the rule said. We got a bunch of public comments. Here's where you can see them. There was a strong feeling, or there was a feeling among a number of folks that we should have no repos. Here's the new verbiage. It would be verbiage that Malcolm suggests, and we're seeking public comment on it. I think that could be done fairly quickly. But in any event, it would probably be unwise to go to public comment if we find ourselves in a position where we need something else to go for public comment too. So we, hello? So let me take a take an attempt to try and wrap up where we are now. And Sam and Liz, I would ask you in the background to sort of be preparing to sort of tee up your red line version for moving it forward to Sidley, you know, getting Sidley's help on issues where you think we need their help, translations and joinder, or at least, you know, let the group here know a little bit more in detail what you're suggesting there so that we might be able to, you know, to move forward on both fronts quickly. We have to move quickly on the Sidley side or else we're out of money. And I think on the public comment side, it would be in our interest and ICANN's interest, this is my personal feeling here, to get the repose issue out for public comment fairly quickly while people are still here. And I think it's possible. So if I don't see any other comments, I'll move to any other business on the agenda and would be open to asking if anybody has any other business or any concerns with what I've just suggested. Excuse me. I don't see any hands, and so it's possible that we're done early. I'll just ask one more time, if there's anything anybody wants to raise, please do so now, because we're going to wrap this call and come to the list. And before I do that, I want to thank Sam and Liz and anyone else that may have helped in putting the red line together. I think I see your point. I think there was a lot of work in it. And it appears to me it was good faith effort. I appreciate it. I think it's helping us move this forward. And I appreciate last week's call where the way forward was discussed about let's go to the list with or let's go for public comment on the repose issue. So it's, I think we're coming together and actually getting to a point where we may be able to finish up the rules pretty quickly. So I do see a hand, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Just trying to confirm the calls that we have. We have a call scheduled for next week, 17 May. I heard you mention earlier that you may not be able to make that. Are we holding to that or not?
Well, Bernie, if there's a call on the 17th, I'd have to say to the group, I won't be able to prepare for a call, so I couldn't lead the call. I'm not even sure I can be on it to be, but if this group feels that we need a call, I would do my best to be on it and see if I can find someone to help me lead the call. Do we have a call scheduled for the 24th as well, Bernie?
No, we don't, but we could. So I could arrange that now. So maybe wise just to, given attendance has been a bit of a struggle on this call, I might suggest that we just cancel 17 and reschedule for 24.
Well, does anybody object to that? That'll be, we're going to try and do a lot on list between here and there. Bernie, can I ask you to do two? Go ahead.
Sorry, I would support that. If we have another call this time next week, if that's what the time that you're talking about, I'm afraid
yes.
I'm going to be on an airplane at that time. So.
okay, so next week. Thanks, Malcolm. Bernie, could we also try and schedule a call for the 22nd at this time so that we have a call at 22nd and 24th? And what I'm looking to do is if people could, we would meet on the 22nd, just move it up 2 days and then cancel the 24th. But it would be nice to have both set now so that we can use whichever's best.
Given you sounds like we might have a bit more material, would you like to go for a 90-minute call on the 22nd and the 24th?
That's fine with me, unless, yes, let's try it. I mean, it's always good to have the time and not need it, than the reverse, to need the time and not have it.
What is the time of the meeting?
1900 UTC. All the calls, Caboose, I believe, we're trying to set at 1900 UTC.
Always in the evening. It's not in the morning, no? It's not early morning. You are always in the evening, yeah?
Yes, that is correct.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Those are booked, David, and next week is canceled. Then we'll send out the regular invites. Thank you very much.
Excuse me. God, I'm sorry to be coughing. Thank you, everybody, and I will be coming to the list. If not tomorrow, then over the weekend with sort of a recap of what we did today and looking to move forward. And I appreciate everybody's efforts. Thank you so much. And we'll see you at the next time, and we'll see you on the list.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. Goodbye.